You're listening to Joe Sullivan's Legacy, A Tree That Keeps On Growing, by River Wild and producer Pam Hassan, for CICK News Smithers Community Radio. Voices in order of appearance include clips of Joe's son Tim Sullivan's eulogy, read at KISS Piox Valley Community Hall, as well as host and Joe's former student, River Wild, former student and wrestler Nock Nguyen, their sister, and Olympian wrestler Carol Nguyen, plus Olympian Lindsay Abdu, formerly Lindsay Belisle, and Shannon McPhail. And text to voice audio, such as this. Please note the correction. In the story, Lindsay Abdu is inaccurately referenced as Dr. Lindsay Kalani. And now, for Joe Sullivan's Legacy, A Tree That Keeps On Growing.
I lit my pants on fire.
Literally?
Literally. And I burned myself very badly. And I had to be medevaced to Prince Rupert. I was in the nursing station where Debbie was trying to take care of me. She brought Dad in. I was in bad shock and shaking with pain. I didn't want to be on fire. Sorry. Yeah. I choked up every time. My dad did this amazing thing where he calmed my mind by walking me through a visualization process. The pain and the shaking stopped, and I was able to go to another place in another body. While this was going on, a float plane with medics flew down to pick me up from Prince Rupert. And when I was brought out of the nursing station, I didn't want to be on fire. The whole village had lined up along the boardwalk to carry me down to the floatplane dock. I will never forget how that made me feel. I was in the hospital in Prince Rupert for weeks. Of course, when I got home, there were a few jokes to be had. One day when I was hanging out with my friends, my dad lit two matches, held them upside down, and he asked, "What's this?" "It's Timmy running down the boardwalk." One of my friend's dad, Dick Wilson, I can't remember the name exactly, but he said, "I'm giving you a name." And he said, "Your name is Wally." And I asked Dick what that meant. He said, "No feathers." Great example of my dad's ability to coach and influence, and also a wonderful example of the community of Harvey Bay.
He had a huge heart. Without Joe, there were so many of us that would never have had the experiences that he gave us, the opportunities that he gave us. At the time, I don't think any of us realized, and I don't think any of the adults either realized how much Joe put towards the wrestling team so that all of these kids from these different backgrounds would have the opportunity to experience something wider than our small community. It wasn't just so much being taken out of our communities and having the chance to go and compete at provincials or at nationals, but the fact that he also tried to open up our minds and expose us to different experiences and cultures.
Joe gave us hope. He had an air about him in which he looked at you and thought, "Good, and I bet you can do better." He challenged you to challenge yourself. A large, burly man, solid, dark brown hair, bearded, which grayed as he aged. Later, as years of physical demand on his body took hold, you'd often see him using a diamond willow-carved walking stick.
One funny thing I remember about Joe that I'd like to share is his iconic look. He had that wild, bushy hair, you know, a little thin on top. Wearing overalls, funny little hat, and that wooden stick that he'd carry around with him everywhere.
still remember the team always teasing him about his annual haircut, and his actually in his biology class too, we all tease him about his annual haircut and how he kept a brush in his desk and how we would tease him about being an old man getting all sweaty on the mats when he tried to show us a move or two. But he could laugh at himself. And in that way, I think he was teaching us to laugh at ourselves too, so that we wouldn't take ourselves too seriously, put too much pressure on ourselves, or be too disappointed when we didn't succeed where we wanted to.
Joe's presence, at times a force to be reckoned with. No matter who you were, you'd dread a scolding from Joe. Stinging. Hard. Often a contradiction. A wall of stubbornness that could sway to make way. I've never met someone who both physically and metaphorically could take up so much space while still providing others with infinite space to grow and thrive. Joe's celebration of life, held in the Kispiox Valley in the summer of 2024, drew over 40 years' worth of students from across North America, a testament to his lasting impact as a teacher, community leader, and friend. His students, which I am one of, would echo he was a friend who listened while he taught, a rare skill. Joe allowed you a unique vastness to explore, push, try, fail, and shine on your own.
I still remember the van that he would drive to and from all of these different places, and how we would all have a chance to sit up near the front where he would talk to us and talk to us about life and what we wanted, and giving us a little piece of advice that at the time we didn't know that it was advice. We were just talking.
Joe taught in a way that helped us see things from different viewpoints until he found what made it easy for you to understand. In his world, you mattered, and your actions and choices have significance. While he would later become my father and our close family friend, I first met Joe, or Mr. Sullivan, he was known back then, as my biology teacher during my 10th grade in 1992. With plants throughout the room, terrariums, aquariums, animal skins on the walls and gulls here and there, as his son Tim Sullivan so eloquently detailed in his father's eulogy, Joe's classroom was inspiring and real. In fact, so real, one day Joe exemplified his immersive teaching style by bringing in a fully intact moose digestive system, stomach, small intestines, lungs, and more, for a lesson. To only be met with dismay and repulsion by my fellow classmates. Undeterred, Joe simply taught the lesson directly to me, the one eager student elbows deep in guts, allowing the others to watch safely from the sidelines. He had a way that could allow the underdog to shine. Carol Wynn, Nockwin's younger sister and by no means an underdog, is now a two-time Olympian, winning gold in the women's 48K division at Beijing 2008 and bronze in London 2012, an 11-time national champion, two-time Pan American Games champion, 2010 Commonwealth Games champion, and four-time world medalist. In 2012, Carol retired from professional wrestling to coach for the Calgary Dinos Wrestling Club, and in 2013 was inducted into the United World Wrestling Hall of Fame. But Carol's wrestling career started long before her Beijing gold medal win. It started back in the early 90s in her and my own hometown of Hazelton, BC.
Joe had a huge impact on my life and on the lives of many others. He created an opportunity and an environment in which I could fall in love with a sport like wrestling. I was male-dominated, was totally out of my element. But he had this way about him, his humor, this silliness, but most importantly, this very matter-of-fact belief in all of us that I think I really needed at that time. And I am so grateful to him and to all the other volunteers that helped make that wrestling team a reality and a place for us kids to feel safe, to be ourselves.
It was here, under the watchful eye of her somewhat rebellious high school wrestling coach, Joe, who only a year before boldly broke the traditional high school wrestling mold when a young female, Shelley Wright, who while on break from hockey asked if she could join the wrestling team to keep in shape till the hockey season started up. And Joe, not afraid to snub his nose at convention and rules, said yes, paving the way for female wrestling in his high school wrestling team, a first in the North. The following couple years would see Carol, along with her older sister, Nockwin, and the likes of wrestling champions Lindsay Belisle and Katie Eckfeld, would join the ranks of world-renowned female wrestler training under Joe's coaching. Lindsay describes the importance Joe played in female wrestling.
Because of his unwavering support and belief in his athletes, and regardless of gender, he made a significant difference in my journey as a young girl in a male-dominated sport. Thanks to his encouragement and dedication, I never once doubted my ability to succeed in wrestling, even when faced with challenges. Moving on from Hazleton, I learned that not only were there individuals who were against females wrestling, but some actively fought against it. Joe never did. His positive attitude towards women in wrestling served as a beacon of inspiration for me, and I am truly grateful for the confidence and determination it instilled in me. Joe's support was instrumental in shaping my wrestling career, and I will always be thankful for his mentorship and advocacy.
He was an all-American boy, wrestling captain, football player. He went to the soda shop, blew up cherry bombs, became an Eagle Scout, something he was very proud of.
Graduating high school in Sand Springs in 1960, Joe attended Iowa State University to study agriculture. Joe took a break from university and, like his family, joined the military. Joe's father had a degree in agriculture, which he would later use to spy on the Germans during World War II, calculating their food supplies, later receiving a Purple Heart for being injured while escaping the enemy on his stolen motorbike. Joe's namesake and uncle, Joseph Parker, fought in World War II and was shot down over Solomon Islands. Despite surviving the crash and being rescued by nuns, he was ultimately captured and killed by the enemy. Joe was stationed in Russia during the Cuban Missile Crisis, where he monitored Russian movements, collecting intelligence while trading American cigarettes and dealing with wild characters, competing and coaching in the European Wrestling Championships. Somewhere during this time, he returned home and married his high school friend and wrestling champion, and had the first of seven children, his daughter, Laura, born in Tulsa. After his service, he returned to the University of Iowa to pursue a degree in forest management, receiving an honorable discharge. Moving the family to Conroe, Texas, for Joe's job at the Texas Forest Service, in the summer of 1967, their daughter, Kim, is born. In Conroe, Joe received a fellowship to pursue a master's in outdoor recreation at the University of Montana.
His master's thesis was on dude ranching. While in Missoula, they were blessed with a baby boy with a name Tim. This is when the decision to move to Canada happened. My dad got a job teaching at Lakeland College in Vermilion, Alberta. While in Vermilion, Dad started an outdoor recreation program, a wrestling program, and a football program. Dad raised two crows named Inky and Midnight and taught them to say bad words. And they would follow him when he went for jobs. He raised a raccoon we named Rascal. While in Conroe, my dad received my memories of all the students that my dad taught, coached, and made lifelong friends with. In 1975, we left Vermilion Dad took a job in Lethbridge, Alberta at the community college there. Times changed. My dad and mom split up while we were there. In 1979, my mom and my sisters and I moved back to Sand Springs, Oklahoma, to live with my grandparents, and we built a new life there. Dad stayed in Lethbridge and started a new chapter of his own. While in Lethbridge and teaching at LCC, Dad met Debbie. They married in Calgary in 1980, and Debbie became my smother.
A smother is a stepmother.
Debbie got a job as a community nurse, and Dad as a director of the training center in Frog Lake Reserve in Alberta. They moved to Derwent and rented a little farm. My sisters and I flew up for a visit in the summer. Dad taught us about raising chickens, playing crib and backgammon, and they had a pet goat named Ed Sullivan.
In Derwent, life was quiet and easy. They purchased a bus from the movie Amber Waves, featuring Dennis Weaver and Kurt Russell, about a drifter in Kansas. With help from JR, a friend and ex-Vermilion College student of Joe, they converted the bus for living. And on July 12, 1981, Joseph Parker Sullivan, a.k.a. Joey, was born in Vermilion, Alberta. Soon after, they drove to Mexico, stopping in Oklahoma for Tim to meet his first brother, before continuing to Pall Mall in New Year's Eve 1982. Well before it was popular. They lived on a jungle beach, diving for food, while Joey turned 6 months old. They moved to Hinsburg, Alberta, where Joe did odd jobs, and Kim and Tim visited in summer. Debbie got a job as a nurse in Hartley Bay, BC, accessible only by boat or float plane. So they packed up the bus and traveled to Prince Rupert, from there along to Hartley Bay, home of the Gitgat First Nations, here forming lasting friendships. Tim visited Joe, Debbie, and young Joey, and his newborn sister Elizabeth, and chose to leave Oklahoma to stay with them.
Hartley Bay is an amazing place, and for a 14-year-old boy from Jinx, Oklahoma, it was like another planet.
In Hartley Bay, Joe befriended Gord Wadley from Kispiox Valley, who encouraged him to teach and explore and meet people in the area. Gord played a key role in their move to the Kispiox Valley, where the family established their home in 1987. Debbie worked as a nursing station in Old Town, while Joe helped develop a 2-year forestry diploma program at the Northwest Community College. There were many graduates locally, and some worked their full careers and retired there after the program. During this time, on April 3, 1987, their daughter Katie Sullivan was born, followed by their son Richard Sullivan on September 23, 1990.
Dad's calling was teaching, and he eventually started teaching full-time at the Hazleton Secondary School. He inspired generations while there. His students truly liked him, he pushed the kids hard, and he gained their respect, and the respect of their families. He worked hard, he would tutor kids who needed it. I often have people tell me how he helped them do better through these years.
I still remember when he took us all out to a Greek restaurant. This team of misfits and very inexperienced, ignorant kids from the back of nowhere to expose us to something that was outside of our experience, something that would give us a way of looking into a possible future where there were opportunities to experience multiple things. And the best part about that is he took us to as many places as he could through wrestling because he believed in every kid's potential. You never, ever thought that any of us did not have the ability to succeed. And that came through in how he coached us. It came through in how he took us on trips. It came through in the classroom too when he was teaching.
After we moved to Hazleton, inspired by my dad and his love of wrestling, I had the opportunity to join the Hazleton Amateur Wrestling Club, run by Jim Mitchell. Jim decided to bring my dad into the fold, and my dad started coaching there with Jim. Jim left, and my dad carried it forward. After they built the new school, and dad started teaching full-time, it really grew into a large, dynamic program. What I learned in the wrestling room became a big piece of the foundation of my life.
He was a large presence in life. He was funny, irreverent, and so easy to talk to. There were no barriers with him.
Joe was a human, a son, a father of seven, brother, grandfather of many, friend and husband. A teacher, he wore many hats. Professor, high school biology teacher, scholar, wrestler and coach, military spy, scientist, program and curriculum developer, an agriculturalist, and forester, just to name a few. Deeply branching into the communities he called home, he gained the respect of the first peoples of the territory that he lived, played, and taught in, and was embraced and given names in both Hartley Bay and Anspiox. One of the founding fathers of the world-renowned annual Kispiox Valley Music Festival, now entering its 29th year. Integral in developing Northwest Community College's two-year forestry diploma program in the 80s, and was a founding board member of the Skeena Watershed Conservation Coalition. And of course, is world-renowned for his high school wrestling program and coaching. In 1995, Joe was one of five high school coaches in the province, pivotal to initiate, support, and push for female wrestling. And after 5 years of exhibition meets, a girls' championship tournament was finally given official recognition by BC School Sports. For the first time ever, a girls' team champion would be recognized.
What I remember most about Joe is his unwavering support and encouragement for female athletes in wrestling. During a time when female participation in the sport was just beginning to gain traction, Joe stood out as a pillar of support for girls interested in wrestling. He saw beyond gender and focused on nurturing the talents of all athletes, creating a welcoming and inclusive environment for everyone involved. His dedication to the program, both as a coach and a supporter, has left a lasting legacy and provided a sense of belonging for many.
Over the decades, Joy's wrestling program laid the groundwork for multiple national world Olympian champions to emerge from his high school wrestling program. Travis Himmelright, who in 2016 was recognized as Coach of the Year by the North Central School District Athletic Association, or the likes of female Olympic wrestlers Lindsay Belisle and gold and bronze medalist Carol Wynn, all of which used to wrestle on the local Hazleton High School team, the Spartans, getting their start under Joe. Such as Lindsay Belisle, now Dr. Lindsay Kalani, who was one of the world's top female freestyle wrestlers in her decade. After winning her first two Pan American Championships in 1998, the other coming in 2005, Belisle went on to win eight consecutive national titles between 1999 and 2005. In 2003, she captured silver at the Pan American Games and gold at the World Cup, and seized an opportunity to compete for Canada at the 2004 Summer Olympics. In 2023, she was inducted to the Wrestling Canada Lute Hall of Fame.
He was an individual who embodied loyalty and steadfast support. Joe is like a big mama bear, fiercely loyal and unwavering in his supports. As long as you show commitment and dedication, he always had your back, no matter what.
And Sarah McPhail, a former Hazleton High School wrestling teammate of Joe's granddaughter, Fiona Sullivan, is the latest champion to emerge from Joe's legacy program.
As for Joe's like legacy in coaching, my daughter, who's not quite 16, has claimed 2 national titles, and her first coaches were Joe's son, Tim Sullivan, and Tom Lee, both of which who wrestled under Joe when he coached in Hazleton. And that kind of got Sarah her strong start when she was in grade 6 and too young to wrestle in zones by a couple of years. She took an exhibition match against a grade 11 boy. He was 17 years old. And she beat him 10-0. And that was kind of when we started to wonder, like, oh my gosh, where is this all going to go? And she ended up moving to Vanderhoof and wrestling under Travis Himmelwright, who was also coached by Joe Sullivan. And between Travis, Tim, Tom, Sarah is a 2-time national champion before the age of 16. And it's kind of interesting to see the consistency in both how Joe taught me how to do campaign planning against one of the largest oil companies on the planet, and the way he taught his wrestlers how to approach a match. You know, for every move, there's an equally but more powerful or defensive move to counter that move. And there's a counter-counter move and a counter-counter plus an aggressive move. And I see that in Sarah's wrestling. I see it in the way Tom and Tim and Travis all coach. And I see it in the way that we were able to defeat Shell from being able to frack in the Sacred Headwaters. Those, like, careful planning, thinking ahead. And, yeah, he was our Yoda in so many different ways. I miss Joe.
Joe instilled in us responsibility for our choices, guiding us on potential consequences while allowing us the freedom to decide. In his eulogy, Tim emphasizes the importance of mentorship and the significance of legacy, which is earned through sharing time and knowledge, the greatest gifts. Joe taught us to risk assessment by encouraging us to engage in risky activities, sometimes participating himself. Ultimately, his true legacy lies in his friends, community, and family.
It's hard to pick out the best memory or the best one thing, because Joe gave us so much. He took a bunch of kids that some of us were outcasts, some of us came from hard family homes, and really, some of us would never have talked to each other or even interacted if it hadn't been for Joe making us into a team and a family and a community through wrestling. He did a lot. He pulled so many things into our lives through that one sport, and he continued to be a part of our lives. Even beyond that, his reach went further than just being a teacher, further than just being a coach. He was a true friend. And that's the biggest piece, I think, that I'll always take away, is that friendship and his belief in all of us. And the love that he had for all of us.
You've been listening to Joe Sullivan's Legacy, A Tree That Just Keeps Growing, written produced by community reporter River Wild, producer Pam Hassan, for CICK News Smithers Community Radio.